table that shows the differences between fraud and misrepresentation. Definition: under fraud, deliberate, intentional act involving dishonesty. And misrepresentation may involve innocently false statements or omissions. Intent: under fraud, needs the intent to deceive and harm. Under misrepresentation, may occur without the intent to deceive. Elements: false representation of facts, intent to deceive, harm to deceived party, reliance on false representation. Under misrepresentation, what does this mean? This means false statement or omission, reliance on false representation, and connection to the contract. Going further, what are the remedies? Remedies under fraud are contract voidable, damages, legal action may lead to criminal penalties and imprisonment. Under misrepresentation, contract voidable, rescission, restitution, civil remedies, not criminal penalties. That means you can look for compensation or some other way of getting some relief. Degrees of deception involves a high degree of deception under fraud. Under misrepresentation, may involve varying degrees of deception from innocent to negligent. Degrees of deception again involves a high degree of deception. Okay, we looked at that. Impact on contract validity can render a contract voidable, can make a contract voidable under misrepresentation. Disclosure actively conceals the truth or knowingly makes false statements. This is what happens for disclosure under fraud. Under misrepresentation, may result from negligence or genuine belief in a statement. Legal consequences under fraud are considered a serious offense and may lead to criminal charges. Under misrepresentation, primarily a civil matter with limited legal consequences. Examples: seller knowingly conceals severe property damage and sells it as an excellent condition. That would be fraud. Seller innocently states that the roof is in good condition, unaware of a small yet significant leak. What are the legal remedies? Civil lawsuits seek compensation for damages. Consumer Protection Act redress unfair trade practices, misleading ads, and deficient services. Criminal complaints file with police if criminal activities are involved. Economic offenses approach agencies like SFIO or EOW for economic crimes. Arbitration, mediation, resolve disputes through alternative dispute resolution methods. Let's understand this. Legal remedies, civil lawsuits. You can seek compensation for damages. Consumer Protection Act, redress unfair trade practices, misleading ads, and deficient services. One of the ads may say that they give you deliver 100% at all times. Now this is not really true. They may be doing well, but they may be at 90% or 95%. Then that ad would be considered as misleading and can be taken up under Consumer Protection Act. Criminal complaints file with police if criminal activities are involved. If something illegal is happening, then you can file a criminal complaint. Economic offenses. Approach agencies like SFIO or EW for economic offenses. These are agencies of the government which take care of economic offenses, especially if there has been some fraud in terms of money being lost or a payment being made for no goods delivered. Arbitration, mediation. Resolve disputes through alternative dispute resolution methods without going to court. Wagering agreements and quasi-contracts. A contingent contract depends on an uncertain event. A wagering agreement is a bet to pay based on uncertainty. The first is a contract, the second just an agreement. What does this mean? This means a contingent contract depends on an uncertain event. A wagering agreement is a bet to pay based on uncertainty. The first is a contract, the second just an agreement. We say a wagering agreement is a bet to pay based on uncertainty, which means that somebody agrees to pay you something for something that is not likely to happen ever, or the certainty of it happening is very, very rare. A contingent contract depends on an uncertain event, which means, let's say that there is a insurance contract that in case of your death, there will be a payment made. Now that would be looked at as a contingent contract. Contingent contract, Section 31 defines a contingent contract as one based on the outcome of a related event. Insurance contracts are examples, just what we understood. Essentials of a contingent contract: performance depends on an event or a condition either before or after the contract. The event affecting performance is collateral to the contract, separate from its mutual promises. The event must be independent of the promisor's will. Let's try and understand this in simple language. Performance depends on an event or a condition either before or after the contract, which means that there could be a situation where you get into a contract or an insurance contract either before or after a accident. Or now, if you get into a condition to a insurance contract after an accident, then your accident condition will be considered as a precondition there. But the performance would be for anything that happens afterwards. The event affecting performance is collateral to the contract, separate from its mutual promises, which means that the event that has already happened before the contract is collateral. It is considered to be part of the contract but separate from its mutual promises, which means the contract will accept that yes, there has been an event, however, anything further will be considered beyond that event. The event must be independent of the promisor's will, which means that it should be something that is not a condition or a precondition to what is being promised. A contingent contract is unenforceable until the event happens. If the event becomes impossible, it becomes void. So, which means that, like we understood, a life insurance contract, unless there is an untoward incident where there is either a major accident or a loss to the physical body, or in case of death, only then does the contract become enforceable. If the event becomes impossible, that means that you had this insurance policy for 5 years and nothing happened in those 5 years, the contract is void. A contingent contract based on an event not happening can be enforced only when the event's occurrence becomes impossible. A contingent contract based on an event not happening can be enforced only when the event's occurrence becomes impossible, which means that if the contract is based on something happening and that event is practically impossible to happen, then the contract can be enforced. Only if the event's occurrence becomes impossible, which means you can get some compensation once it is true that it is not possible for that event to occur. An event contingent on a person's future conduct is deemed impossible if the person acts in a way that prevents them from fulfilling the contract within a specified time or under certain conditions. An event contingent on a person's future conduct is deemed impossible, which means if you say that something is going to happen to you or to your health condition at a later point of time, if the person acts in a way that prevents them from fulfilling the contract within a specified time or under certain conditions, which means that you somehow prevent the company or the insurance company to fulfill the contract within a specified time or due to certain conditions. Section 36, a contingent agreement based on an impossible event is void. This is very clear. Quasi-contract A quasi contract imposes a legal obligation for one person's benefit based on equity and justice even without a formal agreement. So what does a quasi contract do? Quasi contract imposes a legal obligation for one person's benefit based on equity and justice, that means equality and justice, even without a formal agreement. Types of quasi contracts under the Indian Contract Act. A quasi contract arises in 5 specific circumstances. Claim for necessaries supplied to persons incapable of contracting under Section 68. If necessaries are supplied to a person incapable of contracting, example, a minor or a person of unsound mind, the supplier is entitled to claim the price from the person's property. This is very clear. If you are supplying something, some necessaries to a person or a minor, or to a person of unsound mind or a minor, the supplier, that means you, are entitled to claim the price from the person's property. Of course, if the person doesn't hold any property, you cannot claim anything. Right to recover money paid for another person. A person who pays another's debt is entitled to reimbursement if it protects their own interest. If you have paid money for somebody else's debt, then you are entitled to reimbursement because it protects your interest. Obligation of a person enjoying benefits of non-gratuitous act. Under Section 70. If a person lawfully does something or delivers something to another, expecting compensation and the receiver benefits, the giver is entitled to compensation or the return of the item. If a person lawfully does something or delivers something to another, which means that you go ahead and deliver something or do something lawfully, that means within the framework of the law, it is acceptable as legal, it is nothing illegal that you are doing, or you deliver goods or something to another person expecting compensation. That means, let's say somebody wants to travel to his native place and he is not able to get tickets. So if you go ahead and buy him tickets, that means, and you buy them legally and officially because you know somebody or whatever, you have put your name, you had put the request on the RAC and you got the tickets, then you can expect compensation, and the receiver has benefited because you're giving him those tickets. The giver is entitled to compensation or the return of the item, either compensation in terms of the fare, or the opposite person may do the same thing for you when you require it or at a future date. Responsibility of a finder of goods. A person who finds and takes custody of another's goods is responsible like a bailee. They must care for the items, not use them for themselves, and return them to the owner once the owner is found. Liability for money paid or thing delivered by mistake or under coercion. A person who receives money or goods by mistake or coercion, that means under illegal force, must return or repay it. In such cases, the liability is created by law, not mutual agreement, which means that if you receive something which is not supposed to be coming to you, or it is supposed to come to you, or you receive those goods by mistake, or because somebody else has forced you to buy them or take them, then you must return or repay them. In such cases, the liability is created by law. That means you are punishable and liable under law, not under the mutual agreement. What is a wagering agreement? A wager is a bet where one party pays money to the other based on the occurrence of an uncertain event. In a wagering agreement, both parties should have mutual chance of profit and loss. Let's say you, between the friends of yours, you bet against each other, saying that let's say somebody trying to run 100 meters in 9 seconds. Now that is the world record. If your friend, now you are betting on him running that 100 meters in 9 seconds. Now what does this mean? It is a wager. you are betting on him performing something. Betting what? That means you are saying that I will give you 1,000 rupees if you run 100 meters in 9 seconds. To the other, based on the occurrence of an uncertain event. You know that that event is uncertain because that is the world record. So your friend would need to really train hard, get ready, maybe the next 2 years' time, he may be able to do it. But at that point of time, it is a wagering agreement. In a wagering agreement, both the parties should have mutual chance of profit and loss. That means in this example that we're talking about, your friend has a chance of profit. At the same time, you have a chance of loss because if he does it, you have to pay him that wager. But if he does not, it is his loss, he does not get those 1,000 rupees. Essentials of a wager agreement are dependence on uncertain event. An essential element of a wagering agreement is that it depends on an uncertain event with the parties unaware of the event's outcome or timing. Let's consider a different situation. Somebody says that if it rains day after tomorrow, I will give you 1,000 rupees. Now, what is this? This is dependence on uncertain event. An essential element of a wagering agreement is that it depends on an uncertain event with the parties unaware of the event's outcome or timing, which means it may rain, but I do not really know that it is going to rain day after. Neither does the other party know that it is going to rain day after or not rain the day after. Mutual chance of gain or loss. Another element of a wagering agreement is that each party should stand to win or lose based on the result of the uncertain event. Let's say, for example, you say that somebody says that no, it is not going to rain ever now for the next at least 2 weeks. And you say that no, it will rain the day after. Now, when you are talking of a mutual loss or based on the result of the uncertain event, which means that if it does rain, the other party would have to pay you. If it rains, you would have to pay the other party. Now, this becomes a mutual condition for both of you to either bear a profit or get a loss. That means there is mutual chance of gain or loss. No other interest in the event. In a wagering agreement, neither party should have any interest in the event itself other than the sum they stand to win or lose. This example which we took, whether it rains or not, whether that rain is going to benefit somebody or not benefit somebody is not the point that we are contesting here. What we are only contesting here is the sum of money that either one of the person expects stands to lose and the other stands to gain. No control over the event. In a wagering agreement, the party should have no control over the occurrence of the event. Now, you cannot be part of the weather department or rather the part of a committee which ensures that there is some kind of cloud seeding where rain can be induced. Now, in that situation, you cannot be a party to this agreement, a wagering agreement. Promise to pay money or money's worth. A wagering agreement must include a promise to pay money or something of equivalent value, which means that maybe it is not, you don't promise 1,000 rupees. You say that I'll take you out for dinner to a certain restaurant or a certain place. Distinctions between wagering agreement and contingent contract. A wagering agreement is based on an uncertain event, while a contingent contract depends on a collateral event. That means wagering agreement, as we understood, is totally on an uncertain event, whereas a contingent contract depends on a collateral event. That means an event happening related to the contract. In a wagering agreement, the uncertain event is key, while in a contingent contract, the event is collateral. It is part of the major contract, but which will then ensure that the contract gets fulfilled or not. A wagering agreement is a contingent contract, but not all contingent contracts are wagering agreements. This is very clear. A wagering agreement is void while a contingent contract is valid. A wagering agreement, as the word says, cannot be taken up or cannot be represented or cannot be enforced by law and cannot stand in court, while a contingent contract is a contract and is valid in court. In a wagering agreement, parties are only interested in the wager, while in a contingent contract, there may be other interests also. Discharge of a contract. A contract may be discharged either by an act of the parties or by an operation of law in the different cases set out below. Discharge by performance. A contract can be discharged by performance, agreement, frustration, or breach. Discharge by mutual agreement. Section 62 states that if the contract is altered or replaced, the original no longer needs to be performed. Effect of novation. Novation replaces the old contract with a new one, discharging the original and requires mutual agreement. What does this mean? This means that there is one contract which is already in force and certain terms, conditions change, because of which you sign up a new contract. Now, this new contract will supersede the old contract, which means that the old contract is no more a valid contract. Only the new contract is considered to be the mutually agreed contract. Effect of rescission. Rescission, the contract is cancelled without replacement, and both novation and rescission discharge the contract by mutual agreement, which means that both the parties, when if a contract is rescinded, the contract is cancelled without replacement. That means that is the condition of novation doesn't come into picture, and this is only done if only by mutual agreement. Effect of alteration of contract. When parties alter a contract, the original is rescinded and may result in a new contract. So, which means that the effect of alteration of contract is novation. That means that it will be replaced by a new contract. Promise may waive or remit performance of promise. A contract can be discharged by remission where the promisee waives, alters, or accepts alternative performance. So let's say a contract is saying that there has to be a certain payment to be made on a certain date. Now the promisee, that means the person who is supposed to get the money, not the promisor, not the giver, the receiver, can waive, alter, or accept alternative performance. That means the promisor negotiates at that point of time and says that instead of immediate payment, I will give you 50% now, 50% later. And if the promisee, that means the acceptor, accepts this different alteration to the original, it can be considered by him. Discharge by impossibility of performance. Impossibility from the start makes the contract void. Impossibility can be ab initio or supervene due to legal changes, destruction of subject matter, missing conditions, personal incapacity, or war. Which means that, let's say there is a supply that is to be made from your supplier on a regular basis. Now this makes the contract valid. So that means there is nothing impossible here for the contract to become void. Now what happens? Because of certain force majeure conditions, the person's company is totally destroyed. Now in this situation, there has been legal change in his structure, there is a destruction of the subject matter or missing conditions. Personal incapacity. Now he is incapable of giving you those supplies. In this situation, it is a discharge by impossibility of performance. Discharge of contracts. Discharge by lapse of time. A contract must be performed within the Limitation Act's time frame. Otherwise, the party loses the legal remedy. Which means that if the contract has been signed till the end of a certain time period, the contract has to be completed within that time period. If it does not, then it will discharge by lapse of time. That means after that time period, the contract is discharged. Discharge by operation of law. A contract may be discharged by operation of law such as death or insolvency. A promisee can discharge the contract by remission or by accepting accord and satisfaction. Let us say if either of the parties, there is an insolvency or there is death of the party who signed, then the discharge is by operation of law. Law takes over and the person who is no more makes the contract or agreement invalid. Discharge by breach of contract. Breach of contract can be either actual or anticipatory. Anticipatory breach of contract means what? Anticipatory breach of contract occurs when the promisor refuses to perform before the due time. That means that if there is a condition said that a certain payment will be made on supply of goods, the goods have been supplied, and of course there is a condition either it will be made within 20 days or 30 days after receipt. That means there is a credit period involved. Now if the promisor refuses to perform before the due time, that means if he doesn't pay within the 30 days or at the end of the 30 days within a grace period, then he is it is considered an anticipatory breach of contract. That means it is expected that he will not be performing his duties. Actual breach of contract, when a party refuses to perform their promise on the scheduled date, they are said to have committed a breach of contract. This is very clear. The promisor refuses to make the good the payment, or the promisee refuses to deliver as required, then this can be an actual breach of contract. Discharge, performance and breach of contracts. The discharge of a contract relieves parties of their primary obligations but does not end the entire relationship. So this is very important to understand, that although there is a discharge of the contract, by discharge we mean what? The duties and terms and conditions and obligations are no more, both the parties have been relieved of their primary obligations, but that does not end the entire relationship. Methods of termination of contract. A contract is discharged or terminated when its obligations end. This can happen in various ways. So what we are looking at now, we are looking of termination of a contract, which means that a contract is discharged or terminated when its obligations end. Now the contract is not being terminated in between its time period or its validity. Discharge by performance. Contract ends when all parties perform their respective promises, fulfilling their obligations completely. So both the parties are accepting the conditions that they have put forward, they agree to them, and both the sides have kept their respective promises, fulfilling their obligations completely. Then it is a discharge by performance. Discharge by attempted performance. If a party offers to perform their promise but the other party refuses, the first party's obligations are terminated. So which means that if a party, that means if your supplier is ready to perform, is ready to give you the material, but you refuse the material from the party, then the first party's obligations are terminated. Then the supplier is not obligated to give you those supplies after that. That means the contract has been discharged. Discharge by mutual agreement. A contract can be cancelled, altered or replaced with consent, ending the old contract. So you can either completely cancel it and have no changes, or you can alter it and or replace the old one with a new, of course, with agreement from both sides. Termination by mutual agreement may occur in any one of the following ways. Novation. Novation substitutes a new contract for the old, requiring all parties' consent and occurring before breach or expiry. Now, this is a condition for novation. Novation is what? If you recall, novation is nothing else but replacing an old contract with a new one. But this replacement should happen when? Should happen before breach or expiry of the old contract. Alteration. Alteration of a contract means changing its terms, and it is valid only when the consent of all parties. So you have a situation where there is a payment term, let's say of 30 days credit. You want to extend it to 60 days. Now both the parties agree to that 60 days credit terms, then the alteration is accepted. Remission. Remission means acceptance of lesser amount or lesser degree of performance than what was contracted for in full discharge of the contract. Which means, let us say, for example, the supplier and buyer situation, the supplier's contract was for a year, but there is a remission. That means you are accepting the fact that I will, or rather he comes back and says that I will give you the supplies for 6 months only, for whatever reasons that he has. And you accept that, then what are you doing? You are accept, it is a condition of remission. Remission means acceptance of lesser amount or lesser degree of performance than what was contracted for in full discharge of the contract. Section 63 allows a party to waive, extend or accept alternative performance. So which means the party, if the supplier approaches you as a buyer, you have the right to waive, extend or accept alternative performance. No new agreement or consideration is needed for such a release or promise. When the supplier in our example is accepting the fact that he is unable to make supplies beyond the 6 months that is stated, then there is no question of a new contract or a new agreement to be made. Accord and satisfaction. Under English law, accord is the promise to accept less and satisfaction is fulfilling it, which means that there is an acceptance of the promise and there is a satisfaction that is to fulfill it. That means whatever was promised has been fulfilled. Rescission. Rescission cancels the contract without replacing it with a new one. So there is no novation here. That means the old contract stands cancelled, terminated, that's it. That is rescission. Waiver. Waiver is the abandonment of a right, releasing the other party from obligations. You have realized that as a buyer, your product itself has undergone change and you don't require any more supplies from the supplier. You give him a waiver saying that waiver is the abandonment of a right. That means you release the right as a buyer and say that I do not want more supplies from you. In this situation, you are offering a waiver on the contract. Merger. Merger occurs when a superior right and an inferior right merge in one person, causing the inferior right to vanish. This would, an example of this would be that there is a supplier who is superior, who is the bigger one, and there is another supplier that you have which is a smaller supplier. Now if the bigger supplier takes over the smaller supplier, then the contract between the smaller supplier and you is now part of the bigger supplier, which means that the superior right and an inferior right merge in one person, causing the inferior right to vanish. That means the inferior supplier or the smaller supplier is no more to be treated as, and the contract would not be valid. Discharge by breach of contract. Breach of contract occurs in two ways: actual breach and anticipatory breach. Actual breach. Breach occurs when a party fails or refuses to perform either explicitly or through conduct. This means that you are not physically able to meet the requirement or perform as per the contract, either explicitly or through conduct. That means actual physical shortage of material or physical incapability of supply, or you inform them that it is not possible because the company is no more or there has been a major problem at your factory. Anticipatory breach of contract. Anticipatory breach of contract occurs when a party announces before the performance time that they will not perform the contract. This means that there is a due date for delivery from the supplier and the supplier in advance informs you that he will not be able to meet that delivery date ever. Which means he is sort of breaching that contract, but before he is informing you before the due date. When a party by their own act disables themselves from performing the contract, for whatever reason the company has gone under, has been closed, either because you don't want to run it or because of whatever issue, but the final decision is yours that you cannot run the company, then it becomes, then you are fulfilling this condition when a party by their own act disables themselves from performing the contract. The context, of course, is the supplier and buyer. Consequences of anticipatory breach. The aggrieved party can take the following steps. The affected party can take the following steps under consequences of anticipatory breach. May treat the contract as discharged. He can consider the contract discharged and free from all further obligations. You are freeing the other party from all the obligations because you treat the contract as discharged. He can seek legal remedies like damages, specific performance, or an injunction. The person who is affected can look at seeking legal remedies and claim damages for specific performance or an injunction. May not treat the contract as discharged. The aggrieved party may decide to treat the contract as alive and operative and wait for the time of performance. In such a case, the following consequences are: the contract remains valid for both parties and may still be performed by the other party. So, which means that you are sort of a waiver, in-between waiver that you are offering to the other party, where you are saying that, okay, you have still time, I am not cancelling the contract. If possible, do try and complete it till the time the contract is valid. Now, of course, this is by mutual consent. If a contract is not rescinded and a legal event occurs, the aggrieved party loses the right to sue for damages. If I am the aggrieved party, I need to understand that if I don't rescind the contract and I don't want to treat it as discharged, then I'm giving the other party the time to perform. But if something legally happens in between that, let us say he goes bankrupt or insolvent, then I have lost my right to sue for damages.